Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life. Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
When I was young, I knew something was wrong. My mother would forget to pick me up from school.
Drugs and alcohol may make you forget your problems.
My mother got help, and because of recovery, she is here for me.
Hi, Mom.
You ready?
Let's go.
For drug and alcohol treatment for you or someone you love, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You are listening to Life Conversations with Life Coach Ade on Life Conversations Radio.
waters of living grace. We sometimes get thirsty. We don't even know if we need water or a cup. Pray the prayer and affirm that something within leads us back to our inner senses. And we remember waters of the living grace. You're listening to Life Conversations with Life Coach Ade. Thank you for tuning in. For tuning in to yourself. You love this jazzpiration. Jazz mixed with inspiration. The power of creativity. Pray with you, know with you that you are drinking from the water of living grace. Boy, do we need that water right now. Sometimes people are giving you Kool-Aid and they're saying it's water of living grace. You're like, something in me says, no, that's Kool-Aid with too much sugar. Valerie Joy, joyfully reminding us to drink the water of living grace. Keep drinking, keep drinking, keep drinking. Oh, I love it, I love it, I love it. I am grateful for this moment. I give thanks. Valerie Joy, Living Grace. If you want to find out more about her and about her wonderful music, you can go to her website. It's valeriejoy.com, valeriejoy.com. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You make a difference when you remember to drink the water of living grace. You become the light.
Thank you. Waters of living grace.
Mm. Had to let that play all the way to the end. I feel the chills. I'm ready now. I'm ready. You are listening to Life Conversations with Life Coach Ade. My guest is here, as I've been telling you all week, my spiritual midwife. Life is good. It's getting better. Thank you all. Those of you in the chat room, those of you on the phone line, those of you listening to the archive right now, because when you're listening to the archive, it will be right now. Thank you for being part of this life celebration, a moment to remember and reconnect with the truth of who we are, in spite of what's going on in the world. You would have heard me say, life is perfect, even if my interpretation of the life is imperfect. Life is good, it's getting better. We're getting ready to get this party rolling, started. And as always, we remind you and ask you to share the show right now, like the show, follow the Life Conversations Radio Network, and also put it on Facebook, on Twitter, and just blast it. Share with your friends, your lovers, your haters, your dogs, your cats, your birds, whoever, your neighbors, the man on the street. Tell them they need to drop everything and be here because the world needs them. Before we jump into the conversation, let me just share some announcements with you. I want to welcome all of you in the chat. I'm glowing. Gooch is in the house. Silent listeners, disguised as guests are in the chat room. Peaceful, lovely lady. Welcome. Nahali, Sylvia, welcome. Virtual Office Center, a.k.a. Electra. It's nice to see all of you. And all of you on the switchboard, on the phone line. Celeste is in the house. Deborah is in the house. Deborah Gowan, my dear friend. Nice to see you. Happy travels. Betty Piggies, my co-producer, is doing her thing. And my voice is doing its thing, but we just keep it rolling. We keep it moving. So announcement real quick, because I'm excited, but I've been pacing myself, because y'all know I can get very excited. So I've been pacing myself. I've been drinking the water of living grace to just keep me grounded. Not floating, just grounded. Announcements. Yes, this Friday, my dear friend and I, we're hosting a webinar called The Business of Being. The Business of Being webinar, that's this Friday. If you're not on our mailing list, if you wonder if you are on the mailing list, send an email to info@thebusinessofbeing.com. info@thebusinessofbeing.com. And we will send you the invite for the webinar. The webinar is about teaching you to do business with the universe, where your spiritual values become an extension, your business become extension of your spiritual values. So as I was sharing with you in the last few days, it's not like you have your spiritual life here, then you have your business life here, and then you have your family life here. We want to integrate all of it together. Your spiritual value shows up as you. When people see you, they know who you are. They don't have to ask you. That's this Wednesday, August 17th, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. No, not Wednesday. This Friday, August. There I go with dates again. I need to stop using dates. August 19th, this Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a good thing that I heard myself. Sometimes I listen to myself. Most times I just let it flow through me. But, you know, it's all good. All is well. And as you know, the end of the month, last Wednesday of the month, we have Conscious Parenting with Michelle Brown Stafford. Michelle Brown Stafford is our parenting expert. She'll be here last Wednesday of the month, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also, last Wednesday of the month, at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm going to make that real clear, we have Ancestral Blueprints. Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson. So make sure you mark your calendar and just follow Life Conversations Radio so you always catch up, you always have the update. Like us on Facebook, Life Conversations Radio page is on there. And if you want to find out more about me, my website address is lifecoachade.com. lifecoachade.com. Nothing else I need to share other than share a little bit about my my guest, my spiritual midwife, and this doesn't even touch. But you've heard her before, and if you haven't, you're in for a spiritual treat. Reverend Deborah Johnson is the founding minister and president of Inner Light Ministries, an Omni-Faith Outreach Ministry dedicated to teaching the practical application of universal spiritual principles to all of life's circumstances. I got to read that, you know, because we can get very intellectual about spirituality. This is what I love about her. This is what I love about truth. She is dedicated to teaching the practical application of universal spiritual principles to all of life's circumstances. She holds a vision of oneness beyond creed and doctrine and feels particularly called to heal the sense of separation between those adhering to the conservative and progressive ideologies. She's the founder and president of the Motivational Institute, an organizational development consulting firm specializing in cultural diversity, serving the public, private, and non-profit sectors. As a dynamic public speaker, she's known for her ability to bring clarity to complex and emotionally charged issues. That she does easily and effortlessly, and for that, I am truly grateful. Reverend Deborah, how are you doing this morning for you?
You know, I just was on a call with one of my spiritual mentors, Brother Ishmael Tete, in Accra, Ghana.
Yes.
On a Skype call, and I love what he says. He says, "Good morning, no matter what time of the day it is." He says, "It's always a good morning because something is always coming alive and birthing, no matter what." I'm actually going through a lot of stuff right now on a human level, and on a spiritual level, I know it's all good.
Don't stop me off. I knew this was going to happen. But, you know, because I've been feeling all morning. I'm thinking, why am I nervous? What's all this energy moving through me? But, you know, okay, stay in the flow. One of the things that I was going to ask you later, I said, I've been going back and forth. I would ask her towards the end, how do you stay in that place of grace? How do you remember to drink from the living grace, from the water of living grace, when you're going through stuff? And I thought, well, I don't want to ask that at the beginning. I think I'll wait till the end. But you keep it real. You put that out in the front. And I'm just going to go with that. You know, because there's a tendency sometimes to listen to spiritual teachers and writers and authors, and we worship them as if they don't even walk on the same ground that we walk on. But the first thing you – well, not the, one of the first things you said was, you know, I'm going through human stuff, but I know it's all good. I mean – let me ask this question. I have to listen to the question. What is it in you that allows you to share that so easily? And it sounds like a simple question, but from where the question is coming from, it means a lot to just regular listeners. What is it about you that caused you to share that at the beginning of an interview?
Well, I've learned through the years that it's okay to be vulnerable. I never liked that because I always associated it with defeat. And it's taken me a long time as a spiritual counselor and leader to really get that it means more for people to be able to witness you in process than to, you know, give them the notes, so to speak, you know, at the end of the meeting, as opposed to giving them a front row seat in what's going on. You know, that doesn't mean that you gotta spill your guts all over the place, but all there is the journey. And spiritual leaders are travelers, just like people who have the PhDs. We attribute them to being the know-it-alls, but they aren't the know-it-alls. They're the constant students. And the books that they write are musings on their next levels of learning.
Yes. Yes,
you know?
Indeed.
So that's how it is with life. You know, it's just a journey, and I think the answer to the most fundamental question is actually in the lyrics of the song. And, you know, those lyrics just really kind of poured through me several years ago. And if you really hear the lyrics, it's lead me. I don't know how to do it. All I have to do is be teachable. All I have to do is to be willing to be moved. There's a Bible class that's going on here now on the Psalm of 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And that particular psalm is attributed to being written by King David. And this is the same David who was the shepherd boy of David and Goliath. And one of his most famous psalms is the 23rd psalm. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, and so forth. And one of the things that amazes me about that relates to this question is that here you have a man who at the point in time was the equivalent of the Pope, the President, the Supreme Court, you know, Justice, you know, Commander-in-Chief. You know, he was everything. And yet, he understood his relationship to God to be similar to the relationship that he had with the shepherd and the sheep. And for the most powerful man in Hebrew history to very humbly say, the Lord is my shepherd.
Yes.
And leads me around. You know, sheep are very interesting. They get lost. They wander away. They travel around in packs. They get into cliffs that they're not ledges that they can't get back out of, and crevices and all the rest of that. And the shepherd carries a rod and a staff. The rod is that long stick that keeps away the predators. You don't, the shepherd doesn't beat the sheep with the rod. The shepherd uses the rod to keep away the wolves and bad influences and whatnot. And the staff has the hook. That literally gets put on the neck of the sheep to bring him out of the places. And what I have learned through the years is to give God carte blanche to just pull me back. No longer do I have to sin in it. I don't have to understand why I was off. I don't even have to know that I'm off. I give Spirit carte blanche, just move me back. And that's why I say it's not so much about how do I do it as the willingness to have it done. The willingness to be moved.
Yes.
As opposed to how do I move myself.
So, you're listening to Life Conversations with Life Coach Ade. My guest is Reverend Deborah Johnson, my spiritual midwife, because I surrendered about a year ago completely. I had an experience that, for me, I can't even wrap my brain around it. I don't have enough brain cells to understand the experience, and Reverend Deborah Johnson was there to assist me through the process. And Reverend Deborah, as you talk, I think of the reflections that I've been having, because I find myself right now where I just feel like things are just happening, and every now and then I snap out of it and I'm saying, oh, wait a minute, shouldn't I be doing more? Wait a minute. But life is simply unfolding, and you talk about the willingness for it to happen through us. What can we do to create that place and that space to step into the willingness for God to be God through us, so that when that time shows up, when we allow it, we still feel grounded, as opposed to comparing where we are to the world and saying, well, I should be doing more. I mean, I can't just be feeling aligned and feeling spiritually grounded and just trusting every moment. Maybe I should be doing more. What do we need to do so that we can be grounded in that time?
Well, I'd like to caution all of the listeners about something. And that is the tendency for us to want to orchestrate our surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Where we want to control our surrender. And, you know, what do I need to do to put myself in the position?
Let me mute my mic while I laugh.
So I'm not doing. Yeah. And I would shift the focus of attention from doing to being. Mm. Instead of asking the question all the time, of what is it that I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
Ponder, what must I be? What must I be in order to fulfill my great purpose? Not what must I do,
mm-hmm.
but what must I be? And I say that because there are processes that happen within us that are not intellectual. They are not rational. They are not linguistic. They are not linear. I would describe it as sort of a recalibration,
mm.
where just like with a engine or a clock or something, where the timing gets a little off or all the parts aren't quite synchronized,
mm-hmm.
there's a way that we energetically recalibrate. And what happens for us is it's somewhat like a kaleidoscopic twist, where it's like all the rocks are in that kaleidoscope, and nothing falls out and nothing else comes in. But just with a little twist of perspective, you see a completely different picture. And if we cultivate the realm of the soul, which says, I'm willing to be something. So it's kind of contrary, so to speak. The spiritual world is paradoxical.
Yes.
That in order for you to be something, you actually have to do less. What happens with all the doing is that our ego gets involved and we begin to feel like the spiritual enlightenment is the perk and the reward for
mm-hmm.
what I have done.
Yes, yes.
So we objectify it then, and it becomes something external that we're chasing after.
Mm-hmm.
My main spiritual mentor is Reverend Michael Beckwith, from the Agape International Center in Los Angeles. He and I were, young together, same age, same neighborhood in L.A., and I'm one of the founders of Agape. They had a 25-year anniversary this year in November, and I studied under him before Agape, and we're, pretty close. And one of the things that he always impressed upon us is that what you're looking for, you are looking with.
Uh-huh.
Well, everybody just breathe that for a moment. What you're looking for, you're looking with. That we are like fish in the ocean looking for the sea.
Uh-huh.
What you're looking, that's why I say it's a question of being. Say, well, what can I do that's more loving? What can I do that's more... No. Recognize that love that you're chasing after is already what you are. It's our identity that has to shift. So we no longer perceive of ourselves as ones who don't have it,
uh-huh.
who are looking for it, to ones who do have it, and we're just giving it a chance to express. It makes all the difference in the world, the perspective and the starting place that we're coming from.
Uh-huh.
Take time to shift your starting place. Instead of just going out there and doing, and I mean in very practical ways. For example, I don't like to shop.
Huh.
Okay? And I don't like to run around. And whether it was my former profession, residential real estate, before I got into commercial real estate, or whether it's looking for a car or a place to live, you know, you can do a lot of running around. You can. Or you can sit in the silence and just keep affirming and claiming that you have your right one and let it come to you. You know, it works in business. I don't have to make a zillion cold calls. There is a science to that. If you call every telephone number in a certain, you know, neighborhood, you know, X percent of them are going to respond. And then, you know, X percent of them, you might be able to get a listing. So you call 1,000 people and so you get 4 listings. It's like, yes, that's almost a mathematical science. That works. Or all those hours that you spend cold calling, you can sit in the silence, make collage boards, vision boards, really see and feel that the houses that you're supposed to list, that energetically you find each other. And then just let it unfold. And either one of them will work. You get just get to choose which one you want to do. You know?
You get to choose.
Yeah, but you don't have to run around. You don't have to search the clubs to find a mate. You know, you don't have to kiss every frog to find your prince. You know, you don't have to shop every lot before you find your car. You really don't have to do that. If you just allow yourself to get clear and to feel yourself with it, feel it, not as something, you know, this car out there I'm trying to buy, but I have my divine right transportation. I have that mode of getting around that's right for me, that's comfortable for me, that's comfortable for my family. It's affordable, you know. It's right for me. So that it just becomes part of an extension of you and who you are in the world. And if you're willing to come at it from that angle, life is so much simpler. We don't have to work that hard at everything. We really don't. I'm a big basketball fan. And I just mentioned that I came from Los Angeles. So, of course, you know, through the years, I've been a Laker girl, right? A Laker gal. And the Laker coach, the guy that just left, Phil Jackson, has been there like a couple of times, and he's known as the Zen Buddhist master.
Yes, yes.
And one of the things that he always tells the players is don't chase after the game. Let the game come to you. Let the game come to you. Don't chase after life and stuff. Just get in there, like get in your own rhythm, and you'll synchronize with it. You don't have to force it.
Don't have to force it. So I listen to you and I hear it, I feel it. Then I hear somebody saying, but Reverend Deborah, I mean, I got to do something. I can't just sit here. I mean, because it feels counterintuitive. I mean, it's like, yeah. I say life is paradoxical. It's this thing that I call the duality of oneness.
Yes.
And the idea of getting still, doing my inner work, and then letting life come to me. For some people, it's like, it sounds good.
I understand
good,
that.
You got to get out there and do some work. You got to let the rubber meet the road. That's where the work is.
You're absolutely correct that the spiritual path is counterintuitive to what we have been taught. You are absolutely correct. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that there's nothing for you to do. What I am saying is that your steps will be guided and you won't be wasting a lot of time flailing around trying to find it. Your starting point is different. It's like if I go back to being a real estate agent, I still have to get the listing, close the deal, go through the entire transaction. I still have to do all that work. The difference is that I don't have to spend weeks and years trying to get the listing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, relationships are challenging.
Woo-hoo.
You're still going to have all your, you know, if you wind up in that quote-unquote right relationship, it's not going to be any easier. It just means you don't have to kiss a million frogs before you get in that one.
Mm-hmm.
See, drama is optional. Drama's optional. And as far as this kind of, well, what does this mean? Well, you know what? Psychologists have proven time and time again the power of visualization, that your body and your mind responds. I remember one of the earliest studies that really moved me about this. This was like years ago, when I was in graduate business school, like 30 years ago or something like that. I got an MBA from UCLA. And it was this study about basketball players. It was high school basketball players where they had three groups of 25. And they told the first group to go to the court 30 minutes every day and shoot free throw shots. Another group was told for 30 days, don't do anything. Don't think about basketball. Don't go to the courts. A third group was told, don't go to the court. Just spend 30 minutes a day visualizing yourself hitting perfect free throw shots. Well, lo and behold, after the 30 days, the group that did nothing showed zero improvement. The group that actually went and practiced 30 minutes every day had a 28% increase in their free throw shooting, you know, being accurate. The group that just thought about it had a 26% increase. And I remember how much that really struck me. Our motor skills are listening in on our mind chat. Our emotions are listening in on our mind chat. So the more we tell ourselves, I can't do it, or it's hard, when we get in that searching mentality, it's as though it hasn't happened. The great athletes, the great salespeople of the world, they do exactly what I'm talking about. They get in their game face, so to speak, concentrated, not a whole bunch of other drama going on. You know, you can't control the game. You don't know what's going to happen in the game.
Right.
All you can be is emotionally, psychologically, physically prepared. And so it is with the game of life. You can't control life. You don't know what's going to happen every day any more than you know what's going to happen in the basketball game. But if you go work out, so to speak, you know, go to the gym, do your shots, do your drills, then when the game happens, you're prepared.
Yes, yes.
You can't micromanage and create the game before it happens. You can only thing you can do is show up prepared to play it. And that's what this work does. It gets you prepared to do it so that your heart is cultivated. So you can be open, you can be receptive, you can be forgiving. You know, you can be sure, you can say yes. But you've got to go on the court. You have to go to the gym. So these things that I'm talking about, it's like going to the spiritual gym.
Yes, yes, yes.
So don't even talk to me about running the marathon.
If you ain't been to the gym.
If you haven't been to the gym. And you haven't worked out. And that's what it's like in life. People are saying, but what can I do? I want to run the equivalent of the Boston Marathon in life. You know, and I want to do this. Like, what do I do? What do I do? Well, go meditate. Go pray. Do something. No, but what do I do? What do I do? You know, it reminds me of the movie The Karate Kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the first version, and I love the Will Smith version, too, where, you know, the little boy is just wax and wipe. You know, wax and wipe. In the first movie, he just does these circular motions. He's cleaning, he's painting, and he thinks nothing is happening. In this latest version with Jaden Smith as a little boy, he's just picking up the coat, putting it on the rack, putting it down, just hours on end, days on end. That's all he's doing. And both of the little boys think they're not doing anything. But then when the master teacher comes at them and starts throwing these fast, martial arts shots at them, they're just instinctively using those motor skills that they develop to block those shots. And then they realize after the fact, oh, wow, I was learning martial arts. I thought I was just waxing the car. I thought I was just putting the coat on the hanger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it is with life. It feels like the drills, so to speak, are mundane, but that's what gives you the unconscious awareness and deliberate intent, as Howard Thurman says it. See, you don't have to think about it. You want to have rehearsed it and done it so much as a dancer, as an athlete, that it becomes almost instinctual. Because if you have to think through every step of the dance, you're not dancing.
Right, right.
And that's how we have to do with life. You don't just show up and play. You have to do the drills. You have to do the steps. You have to get on the court. You have to do the practice so that when you do get out there, you develop the skill set.
You go within or you go without.
Yes.
Go within or go without. And if you're without, it's because you haven't been within. When you go within,
correct,
you have it. You are listening to Life Conversations with Life Coach Ade, my special friend, my mother, my spiritual mother, is Deborah Johnson. You want to find out more about her, go to her website. There's actually two websites. One is innerlightministries.com, innerlightministries.com. That's the website for the church. Her personal website is deborahjohnson.org, deborahjohnson.org. She's the author of The Sacred Yes and Your Deepest Intent. This morning I was thinking about The Sacred Yes. It's like this is the updated version of the Bible, because for me, I can really get with this. You know, I don't need the King James version. That's his version. He don't know the truth. I want something I can relate to. I want letters from the infinite straight to me. And if you don't have a copy of Your Deepest Intent and The Sacred Yes, words to the wise. You need that to go to the gym. Just like when you take the gym, you take your water with you. To go to the spiritual gym, you've got to take the sacred yes. Because until you say the sacred yes, you won't even be allowed into the spiritual gym. because you can't handle it. It's like, nah, you got to say the sacred yes. What's the password? We're going to take a break. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Press 1 on your keypad with your questions, your comment. We'll be right back. And, yeah, call in. And you can also ask questions in the chat room. I see most of you are just drinking up this conversation. It's so quiet in the chat room. Normally people are chatting and talking about all kinds of things. Today is just, I mean, it's like they're having a meditation session in the chat room. We'll be right back. That's what happens when truth is dropped into your consciousness.
You are listening to Life Conversations with Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hello there. My name is Michelle Brown Stafford, child prodigy mom and parental involvement activist, urging parents to get involved in their children's education. At the age of 13, our son, Stephen Stafford, became the youngest ever to enroll as a full-time regular student in Morehouse College's 150-year history. This occurred only after well-meaning educators failed to identify our son's gifts in the classroom. Knowing who our son was, my husband and I got involved and prevented Stephen from falling through the educational cracks. So parents, get involved. Stay involved. Your child's potential is definitely worth it.
Mom?
Dad, it's me.
We need to talk about sex.
I know you don't want to.
You think I'm too young.
You're afraid if we talk about sex, I'll no longer be your little muffin head.
Your pookie bear.
Your lammy lumpkins.
Your bubby chubs.
But come on, talk to me about sex. Tell me you want me to wait. Sure, it'll change our relationship.
It'll make us closer.
I know you want me to wait to have sex, so don't wait to tell me. Talk to me.
Tell me to wait.
And guess what? If you go to forparents.gov, you can get help on how to talk with me about sex.
Look, this is important. Come on, Dad.
Let's do this, Mom. Talk to me about sex.
Tell me to wait.
And don't worry. I'll always be your little muffin head. Your ginger snap. Your pumpkin face.
Your butterbean.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Mom?
Dad?
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life. Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Yes, indeed. It is about being the change you want to see. And how do you be that change? You get yourself into the spiritual gym. But you don't have to do anything to get there. You can just do it right now. Listen from that place. We got a question for Reverend Deborah. Let's take this call. The phone line is jam-packed. Everybody got questions. Let's go to Sam from Atlanta. Has a question. Sam, you're live. What's your question?
Well, I wasn't sure whether the question was to be relayed to Reverend Deborah or not. I suppose you can hear me, Ade.
Yes, we can. Hey, Uncle Sam.
Very well.
Now I know who it is.
You're not supposed to blow my cover, okay?
Okay.
Reverend Deborah, you're my sister. You're my friend. I'm sure you agree with me that none of us shall meet strangers because we are all members of that one family of God. The question that that agitates my mind is your message, profound, on the money, sublime, deep. For those of us who are literate, who have access to the internet, or who can get to your church, who have the intellectual prowess to grasp what you're sharing. This is a blessing, profound blessing. What happens to the teeming majority of humankind, by the million, who don't have the sophistication, the literacy, I'm getting long-winded, but I think you get my drift. Are we either left out, or are we the chosen? That's my question.
Neither.
Okay.
They are not left out, and we are not the chosen. If something is true, it's going to be true throughout all ages and all time. And the truth is everywhere present and equally available. If it's fundamentally true, then the most uneducated mind in the most remote part of the world will know it. And let me give you an example towards the end of May. I went on a special trip to the rainforest of in the Amazon of Ecuador to spend time with an indigenous group, the Achuar people, who live so far into the rainforest that they were never colonized. They don't even have a written language. And it's just extraordinary. I was a part of a social justice group that was meeting with this particular group. And what I noticed and what struck me so much is that here's a group that technically speaking is illiterate, but if you were to look at the photos, even of the smallest child, they had a more profound presence than anything I have ever seen. All of these things that I'm talking about, people who are not that literate know. It's actually harder to get the educated people to understand the importance of pure presence.
I know that's right.
It's not the uneducated that are the problem. The indigenous people, the uneducated people, they are trusting God. They are living in harmony with nature and the environment. And they are praying for the healings and working with the plants and you know, the organic foods and all that. They are not the ones disconnected. So the ones disconnected are the ones in either urban environments who are so intellectually minded that they have forgotten that they are a part of the great whole and perceive themselves as isolated. They're the bigger challenge.
So if we want to go with the theory of the chosen one, we can say the ones who are uneducated are the chosen one, and we're seeking to be chosen.
I'm an advocate.
Reverend Deborah, in your state of consciousness, there is neither the no chosen nor the unchosen, and we're all part of the whole.
Correct.
But you make it a profound distinction in the sense that there is something in so-called civilization, in the state of, I mean, the contrast between the state of nature and the state of culture that indeed undermines our connectedness to spirit, the spirit in whom we live and move and have our being, and we seem to be actors in a totally different sphere where we emphasize our uniqueness, our independence from one another, and therefore our independence from the source, from our ground of being, from spirit. So. That's quite a remarkable insight for me to sort of show me that, in fact, the people that seem to have been left out are, in fact, the ones that are the ones totally in connection with spirit. And and our prayer should be that the gap between us and them should be bridged, so that that last prayer of Jesus will be realized, that they may be one, just that the Father and I are one.
And the reason why I say this is so emphatically, and I'm not accusing you of it personally, but there is a Western arrogance, and a particularly Christian Western arrogance that has decimated, that has colonized and gone around the world and subjected so many indigenous cultures to this intellectual way of being in the world that has decimated that innate earthbound spirituality that has people really connected to God in the name of we've got it and you don't.
Uh-huh.
And that flip, that switch has to flip. We are on an ecological disaster course and a social justice disaster course where those of us from these industrialized countries have to humble ourselves a little bit so that we can learn and go back to our indigenous souls that knew the connection at a very visceral level. We need to learn from some of these cultures instead of feeling like we have the answer and they don't.
So true. Thank you very much, Uncle Sam, and thank you for listening. I want to
thank you, Reverend Deborah, so very much. It's a blessing.
Thank you.
You're a blessing.
Yes, we've got some other callers, but I want to go here, Reverend Deborah, since we're talking about it, because one of the things that we want to talk about is the spiritual meaning of what's happening now, and I think this conversation is leading us there. You know, we're the educated ones. We are the leaders of the world. We live in the richest country of the world, in the world, but there's all these challenges happening. Wall Street is crumbling. There's so much going on in the world right now, so much chaos. People are thinking, what's really going on? Yes, the world is really coming to an end, or is it? Maybe the Christians are right after all. Maybe we're all going to die and go to hell, and maybe I need to get myself together. What do you say to what's happening now and people who are panicking, say, well, maybe I need to do things differently?
Well, it's all happening, and it's all been happening all the time in every age. There is something vibrationally, I won't go into it, you know, to deep depth, but there really is something vibrationally that's happening in the universe right now in terms of the stars and the planetary, you know, energetic fields and the way that that impacts everything. There's a speeding up that's happening, and most people kind of feel it viscerally, like life is just happening faster, and people are feeling overwhelmed and like they can't, like, keep up. And there really is something happening that's not sort of like, you know, an illusion.
Right.
But I would go back to what I was saying before about us personally, and there aren't different sets of laws for the individual than there is for the collective. We are going through a collective recalibration. We have built our systems on foundations that are too small to be able to handle the demands of a global community. We have built our foundations on nationalism and racial superiority, religious supremacy, and all these different things that have not been inclusive, egalitarian, or meant to be for the benefit of all. Mm-hmm. And just like with a house, you can't keep building more stories on a foundation that was built for a one-story house.
Yes.
And in order to retrofit the foundation, though, some of the building is going to have to come down. You can't just shift the foundation with the existing house. Jesus speaks of this in the Bible when he says that you can't put new wine into old skins. Now, the King James Version has it translated as bottles, but that isn't correct. They didn't use bottles in Jesus' day. They had flasks. They kept the wine in these flasks of sheepskin or, you know, camel skin or something like that. And what happens is that wine is effervescent. It expands. And wine was always being used as a metaphor in the Bible of new divine spiritual ideas that grow and expand. And what happens is that if you put new wine into an old skin, the old skin is already worn out. It's lost its elasticity, and it breaks. And we're in a position now where the skins of our economy are worn out. The skins of our government and our political systems, our religious systems, they are worn out. So this new wine, these conversations like we're having here, this uprising about spiritual fulfillment and social justice and environmental sustainability, it can't fit into the old skin. So what people need to pay attention to that they forget is that the sign of the breaking down is not the sign that things are going in the wrong direction. It's the sign that they're going in the right direction. It seems counterintuitive, but it's going in the right direction. And if I could quote, you're there in Atlanta, if I could quote Martin Luther King, I'm a connoisseur of his speeches. When he talked about segregation, he said, the days of segregation are over. He says, you can be certain of that. The only thing uncertain is how costly the segregationists will make the funeral. And that's what's happening now. The days of war and the divisiveness and the colonialism and all, those days are over. The only thing uncertain is how costly are the colonialists, and we're Americans are among the biggest, the U.S., the Western European countries have already given that up. But we're still out there running around trying to be Rome. We have military bases in like 150 countries. I can't even name 150 countries. And it'll be a cold day in hell before there's a foreign base on our soil. We're being Caesar all over there, and that day is over. And we are making the funeral very costly.
Whew. All I can say is you're blowing up my old wineskin. I'm about to explode in here. I'm sweating. We got to talk. I think we have to bring you back once every month because you bring something that brings such an awareness that opens our inner eye and see clearly. And I'm so grateful. We got some callers, and we're going to go to them. Oh, woo! You're listening to Life Conversations with Life Coach Ade. I'm here Monday to Thursday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where all the shows are archived. So if you miss it live, you can download it. You can listen on the phone while it's live. But make sure you follow the show, favorite the show. Check out Reverend Deborah's website. It is innerlightministries.com, innerlightministries.com. Her personal website is deborahjohnson.org. Let's go to Celeste, who has a comment. Hey, Celeste. Well, let's try this again. And while I'm trying to bring Celeste on, Reverend Deborah, we've got to bring you back because you got to break this. You got to break this universal thing. I want to know what time is doing what time does. It flies when we're having fun. So because we're having fun, we have to bring you back to break it down. Let's go outside this world and really. So we got to bring you back. Celeste, you're live.
Hello, Life Coach today. Hello, Reverend Johnson. I will make this quick, but I wanted to thank you for you sharing. I've been checking out you on YouTube. I have the book, but there was something that you said that made numbers shimmer for me, and it was when you said that we would not know transcendence without forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And you went to, you called them, I hope I have it right, because I left my notebook at work, because I was taking notes, sister. And you said, you know, when Jesus was on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. And I think it's out of Luke. But here's another story connected to that location of that scripture that is in alignment with everything you two are saying. And I saw Empress for 3-4 for being the emperor in your life, controlling your thoughts. And then when you uttered the words, you allowed the Holy Spirit to go carte blanche in your life. It equals 7, which is the chariot, which that is what it's all about. And I just wanted to share that with you. And thank you because, you know, authentically, I've been in a funk. My house foundation is jacked up, and I'm finally embracing it, embracing it with being and not doing. It's all good. So thank you, and
thank
I love you. I love
thank
you, too. Okay.
Thank you, Celeste. Love you, too. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's go
thank
to
you.
Don Wolf.
Can I say something?
Yeah,
can
sure.
I say
go
something
ahead.
What she just said?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That she just gave you the secret.
That's what
embrace
she does.
It. Embrace it.
You shall receive, right?
No, I'm serious. In embrace when the foundation is crumbling, when the skins are breaking, we get so desperate trying to hold on to the familiar, and we're missing the fact that this is the answered prayer.
Uh-huh.
This is the answered prayer, but something has to shift. Something has to shift. We want transformation, but we don't want change. You know, it's like that. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die.
I know, right?
something has to change. And if we will just trust just a little bit and move away from declaring all the change as bad, that's all. You don't even have to like it. It's like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I don't want to do this crap.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
if this bitter cup could pass my lips,
mm-hmm.
let it pass. I don't want to get up there and die. However, if it serves a higher purpose, not my will, but thine be done. And it's okay to feel like, gee, I don't want to do this. This is hard. Please let this bitter cup pass.
Uh-huh.
And at some point, though, we have to quit resisting. At some point, we have to quit struggling. At some point, we have to go with the flow of the river. At some point, we have to trust that the wind knows where it's going.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Sometimes we got to let go of the stuff that hits the fan so we can have a shift.
Yes.
And the shift is the freedom. When you let go of the stuff that hits the fan, then you
yes.
step into shift. But if
yes.
you're holding
shift
on,
happens.
Shift happens. And the other one happens too. And when you hold on to it, ooh, things are funky. But when you let it go, you shift. Let's go to Don Wolf real quick. Don Wolf, you're alive. Well, almost live. Well, you're always alive. But there you go.
I'm very moved, and I enjoy hearing what you have to say, and you're echoing many things that I believe and understand and embrace, and a lot of things I wanted to comment on, but I didn't. I just absorbed it, and when you made a statement, which I've noticed from traveling around the globe, it's right about Christianity, something I've been very interested and passionate about, because we are in the end times, and you, when you, so many things came to mind, and one of the, when you just finished talking about the resistance to dying, but having a great need to go to heaven, is indicative of a contradiction within Christian beliefs that is tragic, because Jesus walked a particular spiritual discipline to develop the impeccability to ascend his, not only his body but his spirit. But he laid out hints, and very obviously he laid out stones to follow. And there is an unwillingness within Western Christianity to follow those steps. And there is an arrogance that, and part of that arrogance assumes that if they do the things that they're taught, that's going to get them to heaven, but not do the things that Jesus said, this is what I did to get to the place of ascension that I am. That very contradiction is being now looked at and not received. And that's why many people are walking the spiritual walks that they're walking away from Western Christianity, because of the fear, the fears of death, the fears of true transformation that's in Christianity. But your voice, of the woman's voice speaking it, is stronger than the man's voice because of what you've developed within you. And you've developed that, the power of your womb from which you speak, comes from the truth of birth, and it's charged me, and I'm deeply moved by what you said, and I just want to encourage you to keep talking and practicing what you're doing and evolving.
Well, thank you, my brother.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
your words
indeed
inspire me.
Well, one last question before you go, Reverend Deborah, and I'm going to move mountain. I'm going to go to my spiritual gym and put in my spiritual request for you to come at least once a month. But in the meantime, listeners, if you want inspiration on demand, if you just think, oh, my God, where did this woman come from? How come I've never heard of her? You can go to her website, Inner Light Ministries, and there's a you see, I guess you would call it a picture of her. It says inspiration on demand. Just eat and be merry. You will not be the same. There's a question in the chat room, and the question is, she wants Journey One. She said she just started meditating and praying, and she immediately got sick. She said, I feel as if forces are working against me. Is that possible? I just started meditating, started praying, and suddenly I'm sick. I think there's forces against me. Help!
That is a very common experience, and it is a part of the journey, and I want everybody to really hear this. I said what you're looking for, you're looking with. So what happens is that when we are moving towards something, everything unlike it must come up to be healed. For example, if I say, I want to be unconditionally loving, most people will interpret that to say that the more I say I want to be unconditionally loving, I'm going to start living a state of bliss. But when I say I want to be unconditionally loving, what I am saying to the universe is I am now willing to take a look at all of the conditions that I put on loving and get over them. Okay? So anything unlike where we're trying to go has to come up to be healed, because that's the only thing that's in the way. You're already perfect, whole, and complete. So we perceive ourselves as broken, trying to get fixed. We're not broken. We are perfect, whole, and complete. What we have to do is to heal. We don't have to fix, because there's nothing wrong with this. And what heals is the sloughing off of the things that don't belong.
Uh-huh.
Every thought has a corollary in our body temple. So what happens for us is that our body purges. Most people don't do it all simultaneously. Most people experience things in different places. They experience it emotionally. They experience it psychologically, physically, financially, or whatever. Sometimes there's that sweep where we purge everything sort of simultaneously. For me, I don't usually lead with my body. That when I have great breakthroughs, my body is usually one of the last things to catch up. The way that I've stored all of that in my cellular, muscular memory, the toxins in the body. So when I purge, like when I get sick, it's usually after I've already received some kind of third eye breakthrough. Some people do the reverse, where they purge physically first, and then they get the spiritual breakthrough.
Right.
The main point of it is, though, is that, once again, it's paradoxical. A paradox is where seemingly opposite things are happening simultaneously, and people make the mistake all the time of forgetting that as they are moving forward, it will appear as though they have to take two or three steps back, that it will look quite often like it gets worse before you experience it as getting better. And that's a part of the process. I grew up very Pentecostal. I grew up very fundamentalist, evangelical, charismatic Pentecostal in the Holiness Church of God in Christ, to be exact. Under Bishop Samuel L. Crouch in Los Angeles.
And you bring us blessings from him.
Yes. So, you know, let me be very specific. So what I was taught was the devil is coming to steal your joy. Mm-hmm. And they were aware of the fact that new Christians, baby Christians, they used to say, you know, like people who were just getting saved, had to be like really protected because there was going to be all this pushback. Well, they were on to something. I don't think it's the devil, but they are on to something, which is that your ego doesn't like all this healing transformation stuff.
Uh-huh.
Your ego will freak out and act up and do whatever it has to do to get your attention diverted.
Uh-huh.
You need to stop all this meditation stuff and deal with me and deal with my hurts and pain. Ooh, you need to stop all of this oneness thing and, you know, deal with this financial situation over here. Oh, you need to stop dealing. You know, you gotta stop with all this forgiveness stuff, because you got to go over here and it's about the J-O-B. You know, mm-hmm. just whatever that is, something will come in and try to trumpet and take priority and take our focus off of what we're doing. That's a part of the journey.
That's a part of the journey, Journey One. That's her username in the chat room. That's part of the journey. And you said, I feel as if forces are working against me. Guess what? Forces are not working against you. Forces are working with you and for you.
Exactly. I would suggest this affirmation from Scripture. All things are working together for my good.
Uh-huh.
Don't polarize, don't demonize, don't see anything as bad. Let me tell you this quick story. When I was studying with Reverend Michael Beckwith, before he was Reverend Michael, he was my practitioner, and I was in practitioner training under him at the United Church of Religious Science, their institute in L.A. And I was in, at this particular time, a tremendous amount of credit card debt. Oh, this was like mid-80s. And, you know, they're calling and all the rest of it. And I remember I went to his house and I said, you know, Michael, man, the wolf's at the door. And he just looked at me very quietly in his little Buddhic smile. And he just said, there is no wolf. And there is no door. And I remember my world just kind of, there's no wolf, and there's no door. Like, whoa. You know, those were mental constructs that I created. And he just said, you know, stop it. The bill collectors are not wolves. There's no door. There's no whatever. And he just made me, like, bring all your bills. You know, stuff I was just too afraid to even open. He says, just bring them. We're just going to lay them all out here on the table. He says, and what you're going to do is you're going to write everybody a letter. You're going to quit running. But they're tired of chasing you. They will work with you. And if you don't do anything but send everybody $5 just to say, I see you, I know the debt is mine, and I have every intention of working this out. And energetically, it just shifted. I can't tell you how many things I have resolved with the IRS. That situation got me in some deep mess, and I am as a witness here now that $84,000 worth of IRS debt got cleared for five. Because I stopped making them the bad guy and the wolf at the door. There have been times where the IRS took the money out my account that I owed, and I called them up and said, hey, y'all took my rent, and they gave it back. Gave it back.
Go on with your good self, Reverend D.
IRS. I'm talking about the IRS.
Now, that's
you know, if don't get into things are bad. Think people are against. Nobody's against you. Nobody is against you. Even politically, those people out there, the vast conservative right that, you know, says I'm the Antichrist and all the rest of that, even they don't know it. But they are here for my good. Because when I get to be in that mindset of Jesus, of forgive them for they know not what they do, I resurrect. The Messiah in me that's within all of us starts to come alive. The Christ in you. You know, you got to go through it. You got to have a testimony. And all them trials are your testimony. All those tribulations, they are triumphs in the making. God has given you a chance to prove. And that word prove in Scripture is not for your failure. Quite the contrary. It means to, like, unleash the finest qualities of. Like you do a test drive. With a new car or something to prove it, not to have it fail. And all that stuff that's going on is like building spiritual muscle. It's like putting weights on your bench press for you to build a little bit more spiritual muscle. You don't get mad at the weights.
Reverend Deborah, I love you. Oh my God. Oh my God. I just want to hug you right now. Ooh, you.
You know what we need to do?
Yes, tell me.
I need to come to Atlanta. That's been on my mind for a while now.
Yes.
I need to come to Atlanta and let's just plan. You know, like a workshop or something, or
okay,
or
it
some
is
little
done.
Retreat or whatever.
It is done. Yes, a weekend retreat. It is done.
Let's just do it.
Because this is just finger food we just shared here. This is just finger food. If you like this, taste it. No, it's okay. I don't want that. You bring it a whole. You want to take it to a universal kitchen. All you can eat. All you can digest. Ah, my co-producer are put in a chat room the meaning of Satan. Seeing anything as negative. So when you start blaming the Satan or the devil and all the stuff out there, you just seeing things as negative, because God is all there is. There is nothing else. Reverend Deborah, I feel like we had a, you know, like when someone is traveling and you know they're going to another country and it's going to be a while before you see them and you don't want to let them go. It's one of those moments. I'm like, okay, hugging so many times, but I know you're not going anywhere.
No.
You're right here, and I am so, so grateful for you, for who you are, for just allowing yourself to be a voice of change, for inspiring miracles. You know, in the Course in Miracles, you talk about a miracle is a shift in perspective. You know, it's all of us. I know everyone that's listened today have seen things differently. You've experienced a miracle. So, Reverend Deborah, thank you. Thank you for saying yes. Thank you for always showing up. Thank you for just being an example of what God is as each and every one of us.
Well, God bless you, too, for your vision, for your showing up, for all of the people who have called in. Just know, you know, I'm not up on some kind of pedestal. We are all in this together. What you're looking for, you're looking with. Just claim it. Whatever that is that you're searching after, it just represents something. Go to what it represents, the peace, the security, the love, the creativity, the power, whatever that represents for you, claim it as your identity and move from that place.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.
All right. You take care.
Peace and blessings.
You too.
Bye-bye
now.
Bye-bye. There's nothing to say, but, and so it is. And so it is. I just invite you to listen to the show again. You can download it. You can go to Reverend Deborah's website. It is innerlightministries.com. There's videos of a talk, a lesson sermon that will just continue to shift you, help you as you move through the spiritual gym. I am so full. I got to get off. I got to get off. Because if I start talking, I'm going to start talking in tongues. And maybe I need to do that. But anyway, I want to thank all of you, those of you listening for the first time, those of you listening to the archive, on the phone line, online. Thank you all for being here. Make sure you share the show. Listen again. Share with your friends, your family on Facebook, LinkedIn, StumbleUpon, Twitter. Let's keep the message doing what it needs to do as we release the show. Here's another song by Valerie Joy, Reverend Deborah's partner. Just a beautiful song. The song is called Resurrect Me. Listen to the words. Betty, thank you. Thank you for all you do behind the scene, posting and dealing with callers. I thank you. I thank you all. Kim is in the house. Glowing Good, Silent Listeners, Kamau, Journey One, Peaceful Love Lady, Nahali, Sanichi. It's nice to see you, my sister friend, Electra. Tamara, Celeste, Don Wolf. Those are the names I recognize. But if I didn't call your name, nothing personal. I just don't know who you is. I don't know who you is. But once I recognize your isness, I'll make it my business to acknowledge you next time. Thank you, thank you, thank you all. Join us tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Life Conversations Radio. You can find us on Facebook. And just stay tuned and listen to this song, Resurrect Me. I might play a little. I think I'm going to play more than one song from Valerie if you want to listen. But I'm going to just take it all in. I am that I am.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Yes, it is. Yes, indeed. You can let go of all those other radio stations because this is where it's happening.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
We dare you to live your best life by simply being the change you want to see. After this jingle, Valerie Joy is up with Resurrect Me. Oof, beautiful. Thank you. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. See you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on LifeConversationsRadio.com, LifeCoachAdo.com.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Valerie Joy, Resurrect Me. ValerieJoy.com is where you can find out more about Valerie's beautiful piece of art.
This day, I
You are listening to
Life Conversations with Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
If I am you and you are me, then let's explore the unity, the harmony never conceived before. So sure, doors closed, now bulldozed by possibility. My reality reordered by divine order that transcends, ascends who and what I used to be. A mere vessel of personality. Too small to contain, too small to restrain. A content too infinite to define. Too magnificent to confine. Too perfect to refine. Too precious not to align with the truth of my being. Now seeing with fresh new eyes, the lies no longer capturing my attention. A new comprehension of a dimension of purity that opens my heart to our unity. If I am you and you are me, then where is the unity, the responsibility to dare to care for one another? No cover can camouflage our connection. The detection defies rejection. No objection can force my defection, no more dejection of what I know to be true. You are me, and I am you. A truth so simply true that it escapes our imagination, our affirmation, our determination to live like we know what we know. No more spiritual amnesia, a seizure that has us convulsing with the pulse of the world at a beat so steady that it makes us wonder if we are ready to step to the drummer inside. Step on with the rhythm that says that we are marching together, and whether fair or foul, through sunshine and storms, causation and forms, we acknowledge each other's existence, no longer pretending like I don't see you. 2 inches from me in the elevator. Standing next to me in the grocery line. No longer acting like what happens to you and your family bears no reality on my health and well-being. Now decreeing that our interconnectedness creates a nest in my heart that hatches a love that remains no matter the strains on our relationship. I don't have to like you to love you. And I am the people that I don't like. And with enough foresight, I'll grow to love the you that's me. And even if it's hindsight, it still guides my vision, informs my decision to stay open and concerned when I've been burned or returned to someplace I couldn't forgive before. Yet the doors, once closed, are bulldozed into possibility, reordering my reality with an order so divine that all I can do is shine. Remind myself of our unity, born out of our divinity, which only needs an opportunity to just be. Be what? Be everything, especially one with you. If I am you,
okay.
and you or me, then where is the unity? The sense of urgency that says that our fate, intertwined by divine design, can't wait until I am ready to do what I ought. My heart caught in a thicket of indifference. Can't wait to feel what I should or release what I could have done. Don't sing me no blues. Bombard me with the news, for I refuse to be jaded, persuaded into defiling our oneness through condemnation and separation. Our liberation is in the revelation that I am you and you are me, and that together we are one people. I won't forget that you are not a threat to my being who I am meant to be. You cannot hinder my authenticity. If I am you, and you are me, then where is the unity, the harmony, the dignity? Respect resting on my top, ready to bless you, caress you in compassion and understanding. Nestling in my psychic space, ready to embrace our dance of differences, amalgamations of cultures and traditions, an exhibition of beauty in diversity, a prohibition of envy and adversity, a unity beyond conformity to the status quo that has the goal, for it fails to know that true power is in our unity. No longer judging by appearances, our experiences, expectations or demarcations, duality and abnormality, whose fruit we no longer consume as we resume our identity as sisters and brothers of the earth, birthed with the same breath of life, the nefesh still fresh within us. If Jesus can forgive on his cross, then surely I can toss aside my pride. No longer hide the light under a bushel to keep you from my radiance. This mania of playing judge and jury, causing so much fury, digging ourselves in a hole, taking a toll, putting an immoral mortgage on our souls, the debt of which we can no longer pass on to our children to pay. Alive, available today for all to be.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life. Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move,